You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government is preparing to repeal new smoke-free measures introduced by the previous Labor government, which were aimed at addressing the availability and addictiveness of smoked tobacco. Health Coalition Aotearoa has accused the government and those backing the repeal of minimising smoking harm, particularly to Māori and Pacific people. I spoke to Health Coalition co-chair Professor Lisa Te Morena about why they believe further action is needed on tobacco control to save lives. I started off the interview asking Te Morena about what smoke-free measures the government will be repealing.
So we already have a lot of smoke-free measures in place. These new measures, we're going to speed up the process of helping people to quit. So that included a major reduction in the number of shops that are allowed to sell cigarettes, down from about 6,000 today to only 600. And we know a lot of smokers say this would really help them to resist the temptation to buy a packet of cigarettes if they go into a shop and know that there's actually no cigarettes in there. It's much easier not to buy a packet. The second measure would be reducing the nicotine content in cigarettes, and this was due to happen by middle of next year, 2025. And so it was mandated that the level of nicotine would be so low that cigarettes would no longer be addictive. So that would also help people to quit. And then the third measure was this concept of a smoke-free generation. So it would ban the sales of tobacco products to anyone born after 2009. Forever.
What support did these measures have from both medical experts and also the public?
I would say the support from medical specialists would be almost universal. I don't know any medical health researcher who's not absolutely appalled by the repeal. And we recently surveyed the public about what they thought about the measures, and there was 67% of people supported keeping the smoke-free laws, and that was even amongst the National Party voters. So 64% of National Party voters supported it. A bit more equivocal with New Zealand First and ACT voters, but overall 67% of voters supported keeping the laws.
One of the arguments we've seen from the government is that smoking rates are declining without this legislation, and we did see that the most recent New Zealand Health Survey found that daily smoking rates decreased to 6.8% in 2023, down from 8.3% the previous year. So why do you believe that further action is necessary to reduce smoking harm in Aotearoa?
Well, one, that's still a lot of people who smoke and are carrying, you know, really high burdens of being addicted to a really dangerous habit or product that does result in early death. And also smokers, the people who do smoke, are paying huge taxes. So it's having major effects on their health, but also on their financial situation. So anything we can do to hurry that up, I think, is worth doing. Also, there are certain groups that have much higher prevalence of smoking. So Māori, 17% of the Māori population are current smokers. So they're not going to get down to the low levels that we're hoping to get to by 2025. And, you know, are carrying a really disproportionate burden of that health and economic cost. So I can't really see any reason why you wouldn't put in place these laws. They're just going to benefit people, smokers, everyone in New Zealand.
And why does the government have an obligation to reduce smoking harm, particularly for Māori and Pacifica peoples?
We are letting an industry sell a product that we know leads to early death. That's really harmful. And I think, you know, it's a government's duty to protect its citizens against harmful things. We readily do this for lots and lots of things. We took the lead out of petrol, even though cars, you know, drivers might like to drive around with leaded petrol because it makes the performance of their car better. We took that out because we know that lead emissions can cause harm to children, people. We legislated that you can no longer use asbestos products in households because they're dangerous, they cause cancer. So why wouldn't we also do the same thing about a practice, smoking, that has really no real benefits and it only has harm? So it causes cancers, cardiovascular disease, diabetes to people, and it makes them also addicted because it's a highly addictive substance. So being addicted to something in itself is not a great thing. Even if there were no other health harms, having that need to go out just to buy a product that costs you money because you're addicted to the substance in there, you know, I think that's a harm that, again, the government has a duty to protect us from.
Health Coalition Aotearoa have said that they're disappointed to see that the Action on Smoking and Health Chair and Director is defending the repealing of these smoke-free measures. Why is this a cause of concern?
Well, they're also known as ASH. ASH have been major supporters, actually leaders in the action over the years to help prevent smoking harm in New Zealand by getting people to quit. They were behind the concept of smoke-free 2025. So this sort of change of face, really, to not do the best job that we can, the quickest job we can, just seems really surprising and incomprehensible, really. But you would have to ask ASH about why they seem to be doing this about face.
And then just lastly, the government has also cited vaping as a tool to reduce smoking rates. What do you think about this?
For sure, there are people who find vaping helpful for getting off cigarettes, and it's a lot cheaper for a lot of families. And for people who already smoke, it appears that it's less harmful. But for people who have never smoked, and this is our young people, because most of our young people no longer smoke, because all of those measures that we've put in place have been really effective at stopping people from taking up smoking. But now they're getting hold of vapes. And so vapes are not harmful compared to not smoking at all. And we don't really have strong enough evidence right now to be completely sure that there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. So, you know, we have an obligation to protect our kids, our young people from harm. So, and when you promote vaping as a cessation tool, then that's introducing vaping into the household, which is now modelling vaping to young people who are in that household as well. It's sort of setting up conditions for just a brand new addiction to something that is not beneficial in any way.
That was Health Coalition co-chair Professor Lisa Te Morena on the government repealing smoke-free measures.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.
I also spoke to Action on Smoking Harm ASH Director Ben Uden about their stance on the government repealing smoke-free measures.
ASH was founded in the early 80s by a group of doctors who wanted to have a group that could do advocacy around the policies needed to reduce the harms of smoking in Aotearoa. I've been involved in tobacco control for more than 20 years. I started off working in smoking cessation in the UK and for ASH in the UK and on smoke-free legislation there and there. I've been involved with ASH as their director or as a policy advisor in Aotearoa since 2006.
In your opinion, what does smoking harm look like here in Aotearoa?
I mean, the standout here is that we still have some of the highest rates of lung cancer mortality in the world, in particular for wahine mouldi. Largely as a consequence of having had very, very high smoking rates in the past. And currently, I think what the harm looks like at the moment is, despite the fact that we've seen really record declines in smoking rates in the last 2 or 3 years, is we still have large inequities in terms of who is smoking. So we still have higher rates in our Māori and Pacific populations, in our lower income populations. And also at the moment, compared to 10 years ago, when the majority of people who smoked in New Zealand were young, sort of under 30, 25, now we have the majority of our smokers being in sort of middle age, 35 and above, people who've smoked for a long time. So I think the harm at the moment is really that we still have a large cohort of people who've smoked for a long time. We'll be starting to see the harms of smoking, and they're the people who aren't necessarily stopping smoking at the moment, who are going to be facing respiratory disease and heart disease and lung cancers in the next 10 to 15 years.
What are your thoughts on the government repealing new smoke-free measures that were introduced by the previous Labor government, some of those including prohibiting those born after 1st January 2009 from ever buying tobacco products, and also reducing the number of retailers allowed to sell tobacco products?
Of course, it's disappointing that there's a repeal of what was seen as world-leading legislation. However, I mean, having said that, I think it's really important not to get hung up on that was the only way that we were going to get the smoking rates down to being really low. We have seen the smoking rate decline in the last 2 or 3 years, more than it did in the previous 10, largely as a result of people switching towards less harmful alternatives. We've got less young people smoking than ever before, so we're under 3% smoking, daily smoking for those under 25, which is absolutely unprecedented. We're doing very, very well on the smoke-free generation already. I think there was definite concern with this legislation that was bringing in a lot very fast. So we would drop the number of retailers selling cigarettes 90% in the next 2 or 3 months had the legislation been going ahead. And I think the fact that was hardwired into primary legislation and not done in a way that used regulation or perhaps did it a bit slower was probably short-sighted in terms of making that legislation and didn't necessarily future-proof it as well. So it is disappointing that we're losing that legislation, but I definitely think there's other ways that we can sustain the momentum in terms of reducing the smoking rates.
Do you believe that vaping is going to be effective or as effective in lowering smoking rates as the previous measures were?
Vaping is. It's a tool that tens, almost hundreds of thousands of people have been using very successfully in Aotearoa to stop smoking and to switch from the most harmful way that they could get nicotine, one that is likely to kill 2 out of 3 users, to one that is substantially less harmful. There's no doubt that it's made a massive impact in terms of reducing the smoking rates here. I mean, we're down to under 7% adults daily smoking. We have currently amongst the fastest declining smoking rates anywhere on the planet. And the countries that we compare to are countries which have also had harm reduction as part of their approach to helping people to stop smoking, particularly Scandinavian countries which have had oral tobacco products, things like snus, which have worked for their populations. So tobacco control needs to work alongside this. And I think there's still scope to have measures which reduce the number of places which cigarettes are sold to make the cigarette less appealing and to nudge people towards using less harmful alternatives as a measure to stop smoking. Not necessarily, and it shouldn't be something that we want people to never smoke to do, but it's certainly having a huge public health impact in terms of people who are transitioning from smoked tobacco towards vape.
So would you recommend the same measures that were introduced by the Labor government, but just to a lesser extent? So lowering the number of tobacco retailers, but not as far as they plan to go?
Well, it's not necessarily that it was problematic how far they wanted to go. I think what didn't future-proof that legislation was a drop from an estimated 6,000 retailers to around 600 by within the first quarter of this year, which was a really abrupt way to do it, especially when it was a policy that there were big concerns about what unintended impacts might be. I mean, there were concerns in the retail sector, for example, but also in terms of what the impact was going to be on those people who remain addicted to nicotine. If you're addicted to a substance and the supply suddenly cuts off, you don't respond rationally and suddenly stop wanting to use that substance and trying to get it. And so I think by that abrupt drop-off had nothing in to mitigate against the risk that there were going to be particularly lower-income, mouldy Pacific communities where people had high dependence on nicotine and cigarettes, and they were going to have to be travelling a long way to get their cigarettes. There were 30 stores allocated for Auckland. That would have been one shop per 3,000 smokers. So a shop would have had to sell two packets a minute in order just to meet the current smoking population, which would have caused, I think, real equity issues for those populations who still smoke and were struggling to quit a cigarette. So we definitely need to reduce the number of places that are selling cigarettes. But I think the way that the Act was implemented and hardwired, a very rapid drop by 90% almost overnight, didn't necessarily future-proof. And I think had they done it in a different way, we wouldn't necessarily be seeing this repeal.
Māori and Pacific smoking rates, or daily smoking rates, are much higher than average. How do you think we can then hold the government, who have been quite adverse to setting smoke-free targets, accountable for addressing the harm caused to these communities in particular?
Well, I think actually it was a national government who set the smoke-free 2025 goal, and it was the last national government had goals around working with people to stop smoking and GPs offering advice to everybody about stopping smoking. So, you know, I think there is still an opportunity to work to the ideology of this government. And I think they are a government who does want to see accountability within the health system, whatever that looks like. And I think there is an opportunity there to say that accountability needs to include what does smoke-free look like, particularly for those populations, particularly about making sure that those populations, if that government is one that wants to use harm reduction as part of their strategy, has good, robust information about options available and how to use those to quit, looks at options such as have been very successfully trialled in countries like the UK, where the hospital system is engaged in harm reduction, talking to patients about it and providing them with reputable products and supporting them to use them and how to understand how to keep them at the hands of young people and use them as a quit aid. So I do think there's a lot of opportunity to really keep up the momentum and work with this government if it's going to be about harm reduction. And I also think we need to be thinking about how do we retain as much as we can that can work from the legislation, because it's going to be repealed, but what we don't want is a wholesale repeal. I mean, what is the appetite in there to continue to reduce the number of retailers, but albeit in a slightly different way, perhaps slower than to a thinking lid on retailers, to make sure retail licensing and responsibility and how people sell cigarettes and vaping continues to be included in the legislation as well. So I think it's not necessarily a case of the legislation is being repealed, therefore all hope is lost and everything is lost. You know, I think there is a very short window here to make sure that we try and retain everything as much as possible within what this government wants to achieve, and also work with them to amplify some of the other things that we know are working and that they've expressed that they see as part of their strategy to keep that momentum going.
Health Coalition Aotearoa has said that they're disappointed to see the ASH chair and director defending the repeal by suggesting a smoke-free generation has already been achieved. Is this something that you would stand by, that a smoke-free generation has already been achieved in New Zealand?
Well, I mean, I think what the coalition's not looking at there is the evidence. I mean, we are down to around 1% of 14 and 15-year-olds smoking. We're down to under 3% of under 25 smoking daily. They've had the biggest decline of any age group at all in the last 5 years in terms of smoking rates. You know, we've been one of the most successful countries in the world in terms of reducing youth smoking. Now, the smoke-free generation legislation wouldn't have made buying cigarettes R21 until 2027. Until 2030. And so it was never going to contribute to the smoke-free 2025 goal because it just wasn't going to have any effect for another 3 or 4 years. So, you know, I think, you know, we need to actually step beyond just the kind of emotive arguments and attacks on each other and actually look at what's happening with the evidence. And I know, you know, there's a lot of attachment to end-game ideas and these big ideas to end the tobacco industry, and that's totally understandable. Many of us worked for that for decades. But I think we also just need to understand it's not the only way to get there, and we're seeing really compelling evidence in New Zealand that things like harm reduction are working really well, and that there's still ways to ensure that we're doing those other things that are reducing the way that, that cigarettes are sold. And then what I'd finally add as well is that, you know, this, there's a big focus on young people being smoke-free, and we should be celebrating the fact that they pretty much are there already. But what we're not talking about enough is we still have this cohort of older people, middle-aged and above people, who've smoked for a very long time, who are the people who are going to be entering our hospitals in 5, 10, 15 years' time. And we're not talking about them, actually. And the coalition needs to be thinking about how are we going to support those people to be smoke-free. In a way, those people who have long-term dependence on cigarettes and the people who are most likely to be adversely affected by withdrawal if those products are completely withdrawn from them. And we actually have a duty to be looking after and supporting those people and reducing that immediate burden on our heads.
That was ASH Director Ben Uden on their stance on the government repealing smoke-free measures.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.